Hey, welcome to Anime Talk. It's Tuesday night. Thank you for joining us once again. I am joined by my co-host, Aeroblip.
Hey, I don't see anything yet.
You don't see anything yet?
I don't see anything yet.
I'm sure we're broadcasting.
Are we broadcasting? I hope someone tells us that we're broadcasting.
It says we're live. You're just not seeing anything.
Well, you stream, you suck.
Anyway, so hopefully the rest of you guys can see us, because obviously Aeroblip can't even see himself. We're all right, though. All right, so Tuesday night, Aeroblip, me, we're talking anime. Should be a lot of fun. We're second week into the season. Lots of exciting stuff happening. We've been through almost two episodes on other shows. So that gives us lots of things to gripe and whine about and be excited about, too. You're kind of quiet today, Aeroblip.
Well, I'm just concerned that I don't know. Okay, It's running now. I feel better.
You feel better?
Now it's running. It's kind of... Well, I'm just saying, like, you were talking for like 30 seconds, and then I'm still watching like the old show. I'm like waiting for Ustream to update, so I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs. Like, are we gonna be like talking for like half an hour, and then realize that nothing's going on? Or I'm sorry.
Just... Well, worst case, it's recording locally, and we can always post it later.
That's no fun.
No.
I want to talk to the people. This is why the show's awesome, because I get to talk to people.
True, we get to interact with them. They post in the social stream. It's always a lot of fun.
Okay.
Speaking of that, it looks like we're almost up to 2,000 views on our Ustream site. That's pretty good. It's a good start. We have 20 followers. It means we're getting there. For those of us who come here every week, we always appreciate you guys listening to us live. Hey, we do this for you guys.
Okay, let's stop being worried. All right. Let's go. Let's move on. Yeah.
News, man. There's actually been a lot of news in the last week.
Yeah. I mean, probably because everyone keeps complaining that there's nothing to watch, so they're just, you know, reading the boards and whatever.
True.
That's what I'm guessing.
So, first kind of news that's ticked some people off has been that there are no animes at the Oscars. Like, none of them have been nominated, none are going to get an award, etc.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
I think last year there was one or two nominated, correct? Or the year before?
I think the last one I remember was Summer Wars. Oh, was that 2010?
Was it 2010? Was it that long ago?
I thought it was
2011, but...
Something like that.
So no anime at the Oscars, so they were back to American cartoons, which isn't all that bad. Could be worse. I mean,
have you seen what was nominated, though, for at least the animated stuff?
I did not see that yet.
The only movie I recognized was Wreck-It Ralph.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of indies and shorts, probably, huh?
Either that or just kids' films that I've never even bothered to watch or care about.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, it makes sense because, you know, if you notice, like, the direction that, you know, the anime industry is going as far as, you know, showing things in the United States is that they're doing small film or, like, small film screenings and then branching out. Sort of like the whole Aniplex Madoka model.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, which is it's not bad because it works. I mean, it works because, you know, we're not a really big fan base, so then you want to start small, and then once you start getting the money, then you expand. And, for all we know, like, do we even know if, like, movies were even considered? Or were they just completely brushed off? Or, like, did they not know at all?
I haven't done a lot of research on this. I don't know for sure. I've just seen bits and tidbits, and that would be something you'd have to delve into the Oscar choosing process to see what happened there.
Yeah, because, you know, the Guild.
Exactly. Huh?
Yeah, this is done by the Guild, right?
Or is that... No, this is done by something else.
Okay.
Yeah, regardless.
Yeah. Well, because I know the Guild, like, they usually, they give a list of nominees before the actual award ceremony, but they also discuss, like, why things are nominated.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, yeah,
I don't think the Oscars ever do that. It's just they nominate things and they give an award. Their process is pretty closed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care at this point.
Eh, regardless.
Yeah.
Gold Disc Awards, which, as I understand, is Japan's version of a Grammy.
Oh, really?
Is that what I understand? Okay. And Persona 4 won a Gold Disc Award for their OST.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one again, Aeroblip?
Let's see. It was something about audio or something animation soundtrack or something like that.
Yes. I don't have it up in front of me. I apologize.
I can look it up real quick. But the important thing is that it went to Bakemonogatari.
Oh, that's true. Yes, it was Bakke that had won the award. That's what it was. I knew it was really famous. I apologize. Yeah, so Bakke won an award, and Persona 4 won a Gold Disc Award. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So wait, you said this was supposed to be the Grammys of Japan?
As I understand it, it's like getting a Grammy in Japan. So
okay.
It's not a bad award. It's a recognizable award.
Okay. So hold on. I got the full titles. So Bakke Monogatari Complete Music Collection, which I remember came out a few months ago and all the other torrents. That one, Animation Album of the Year. And Persona 4 The Golden soundtrack, original soundtrack. There's a difference between Persona 4 and Persona 4 The Golden. That won soundtrack album of the year.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So, good stuff, you know, getting some recognition. I thought the Persona 4 soundtrack was pretty decent. I have not seen Bakke, so I can't attest to that.
Oh, I see, because you're one of those people who refuse to watch it.
No, I just, it's on the backlog.
It's on the backlog.
I think I'm thinking about shifting. I was going to watch one of the Precures this winter, because things are slow. I may push that back to watch Bakke and Nisei so that I can watch some stuff coming up, the reruns in Notamin A this spring.
Okay.
I think that's my plan.
Let me give you the rundown of why I'm actually pretty happy about Bakke. It's done. So the music for the entire Monogatari series is done by Kosaki Satoru. And let me just say a couple things. So he did Bakke Monogatari. Let's see what else. He did the music for Kanagi, Lucky Star. There's another big one. All right. Ori Emo. No. There was a bigger one. Which one was it? Oh, Haruhi Suzumiya. There we go. That's the big one. And not to mention, he's done the openings and the endings for Working, which are pretty, you know. Haruhi Suzumiya, Star Driver. Ooh, see.
Yeah, he's deserving of an award.
Yeah, he does a lot of great things. I personally think he's underrated. I really do like his repetitive style. Repetitive in the good sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just me being me.
Gotcha. All right, so next up, Girls on Panzer has another OVA coming in February.
Yay!
I know. It should be pretty good. It's a 14-minute bonus episode, and it's packaged with the second home video in February. So yeah. Something to look forward to there.
So for those who missed out on the first OVA of Girls in Panzer, that was also 15 minutes. But it was mainly, it's funny because you think it's about a beach episode, but it's actually about them preparing to go to the beach.
Yeah, so it's all about them trying on swimsuits.
Yes, and ghillie suits.
And ghillie suits and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's fun. It's very tongue in cheek. It's still got the whole military aspect thing where it's like, oh yeah, these are the swimsuits used by the Navy SEALs, and oh, maybe I should dress up in this because this is what the Spetsnaz use. And yeah,
it was fun.
It still keeps its Girls in Panzer charm, which it's like, yes, it's about fan service, but at the same time, there's still military. There's a military aspect to it, which is always great.
And there was no swimsuit accidents. So.
Well, nah. I mean, who cares?
Yeah. Anyways.
But yeah, so I'm pretty sure that the second OVA actually continues off of that story where they're at the beach.
Probably does. Yeah. I would think so. That way you get a complete episode. Next up, Silver Spoon is getting an anime on the Noitamina slot. So that'll be kind of cool. It's a pretty popular manga. It'll get at least in getting in the Noi, I can never say this right, whatever, animation backward slot, at least give it some preferred treatment.
Yeah.
So that'll be good.
And this is actually, I think this is pretty good news, specifically for the fact that Noitamina has been kind of iffy as far as the whole indie scene. I don't know. I feel like, okay, how do I put this? So this season and last season, we got Robotics Notes and Psycho Pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are very high, you know, high profile AAA titles, essentially, for, you know, the sci-fi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Noitamina, if it's not doing sci-fi, it usually does some kind of indie stuff as well. I mean, that's where you get your Nodame Cantables. That's where you get your Moyashimons.
Mm-hmm.
What's it? Fuck, I'm forgetting. Jellyfish Princess. Like, you get those kind of shows.
Yep.
And so, you know, getting a Silver Spoon, I feel like it just reaffirms the fact that it's going back in that direction. Especially since that next season, like, one of the Notaminas that's already confirmed is Katanagatari.
Yeah, they're both reruns in the spring.
Yeah. Wait, Silver Spoon already came out?
No, Silver Spoon comes out later. But in the spring, both slots are filled by reruns.
Wait. What's the other show then besides Katanagatari?
Oh, now you ask me that. I can't remember.
Well, because I know that Katanagatari itself, I'm pretty sure the episodes are already an hour long. So is it just taking up the entire slot?
Oh, maybe that's what it's doing, is it's occupying both slots.
That's gross. I mean, it's great if you haven't seen it, but that's still kind of gross.
But regardless, nothing original is coming out in the spring.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, for me, biggest news of the day, Ghost in the Shell anime announcement. I'm pretty excited. Yay. I don't know. I'm a huge Ghost in the Shell fan. You know, Standalone Complex, the original movie, watching... it's just... I'm excited. So, I saw the character design for some of
Makoto?
The stuff. I'm a little... Makoto and some of the others. It's like, I'm a little worried, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, you can never... Don't ever judge a show by its art.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
Never. I'm just... I mean, the Ghost in the Shell franchise is over 20 years old. So, I mean, there's bound to be some changes, updates, things like that. So... I'll bear with it, as long as it has the same great writing, good action, and like the original Ghost in the Shell really mixed in the technology with the, you know, what is a human soul aspect, so there's some good conflict there. if it keeps that kind of stuff going, I will be head over heels happy.
Yeah, I kind of need to watch this series.
At least you should watch the original Ghost in the Shell movie.
Okay.
Even if you watch the remastered one as well, it'll give you enough of an idea of what the story is about. Of course, there's tons more going on, but at least you'll be aware of who's who and what's what.
So Standalone Complex is right after the movie?
Yes.
And then there's two seasons of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Standalone I've watched different compilations depending on what, because there's a compilation called The Laughing Man where you can either watch the movie where it takes certain episodes out of the series and makes a whole movie out of it. So I get confused half the time. But yeah, I've watched the original movie, Standalone Complex, and you'd be fine. If you watch The Laughing Man movie, they take bits and pieces out of the series, piece them together, make a movie. It's kind of enjoyable too.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
But when it comes to sci-fi, oh yeah. All right.
Okay, go.
So, first impressions. We've had a chance to look at some series, see what we like. We're going to go back through the series we were most anticipating and tell you what we thought for first impression-wise. I'm up first.
Yeah, you are.
So my first show was Hero and Demon King. And honestly, it is meeting my expectations in that it is keeping true to what I read in the manga. You know what I mean? After that first episode, they toned down the whole booby thing.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. It wasn't necessary. They've managed to make the plot interesting by mixing in the love story with the science and politics that they do as a part of the plot. So for me, I think it is on track. It is what I expected, so I am happy.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I have some concern about is the fact that I felt like there was a lot of material that just got either trimmed or condensed in that second episode.
They crammed 2 1.5 chapters of the manga together to make that episode.
I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just kind of...
Yeah, I thought they did the scene with the maid kind of awkwardly, I thought. But just in general, I don't mind if they speed through it because they got to get through some of this initial stuff because it gets better as it goes on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They introduce a whole other range of characters. Things start getting more faster paced. So I don't mind skipping some of the tidbits if we can get to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, granted, I don't know as much as you do as far as the series go, but it felt like there was a lot of good points that I kind of wish they fleshed out more. Because it seems like there was 3 main points, and then each of it got, like, you know, essentially 5 good minutes, and then it was moved on.
Yeah.
So for the first one, it was like, it does crop rotation, then they stop. And then they go into, okay, now here's the position on serfs, and then their views of serfs and whatnot. And then they stop. And then they go into the role of the hero himself, and he realized, like, yeah, I have no marketable skills.
Yeah,
and then it just stops.
So they expand on that. So the crop rotation, you know, her big surprise that they cut off at the end, they'll expand on that. The whole human thing, the whole make me human, grows. There's going to be a whole big scene later on for that. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
And then what was the last one?
The hero and his marketable skills.
That's something that's continually conflicting throughout the series. You know, that's something he kind of goes with over time is what use is a hero when there's no more wars to fight?
Mm-hmm.
That's his story in this whole thing is what use is he when there's nothing left to fight?
Yeah.
And that'll pop up throughout the series. And I think that's a great line in this whole thing too is, you know, when the war is over, what do the warriors do?
Security.
It's a problem that even we deal with as a country, you know?
Yeah, but what I'm just saying is, you know, security, PMC.
Yeah, a little different medieval world. So the second show I was looking forward to is AKB 0048 Next Stage. And it is what it is, right? Cute girls in a sci-fi setting, singing songs, fighting the evil tyrants who want to suppress music and entertainment. It lives up to expectations. It seems like it's the evil to the original Aquarion kind of thing. They're stepping it up a notch, getting more drastic with how they're doing things. But it is what it is. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
For an idol show, it's fun. I don't get as much enjoyment out of it as my daughter does, but yeah.
I'm still confused because you're watching idol shows.
So watching them is a very relative term. I put them on a thumb drive. I plug it into my Blu-ray player. My daughter watches it. And if I look up and pay attention for more than half the episode, then I'm good.
Well, that's what you're doing for this, right?
For most part, yeah.
Okay. I'm just – all right.
I would say the entertaining factor for those under the age of 12 is very high. Aikatsu as well, but this one for sure.
Okay. I won't – I'm just confused by your viewing process. But now you brought in some clarification.
Some of the stuff I watch is directly driven by those I'm watching with.
Okay.
Particularly two girls that are already learning that they can whine, cry, and manipulate daddy into doing something if it means they'll be quiet.
Okay.
You'll get there soon enough.
Nope. No kids.
So, Arrow, we're up to – what's that?
Oh, because what I was just about to say is my plan is that when I get a wife and then she gets the kid, it's going to be her job until the child is 5 years old, and then I'll take over.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Psh.
You're too much of a pushover. Your wife's going to have you wiping every dirty ass.
Bullshit.
Or you know what? You're going to end up with triplets.
I hate you so much.
Yeah. All right, your picks. Let's go. First one.
Okay, so this is how come Aeroblip is always right. So first pick, show me, because I don't remember.
Chia. It's Chia.
Okay, Chihayafuru. This show is awesome. It's still awesome. Like, it's all about the characters.
I don't know how you can say you can be right with this one, because the original was good. They couldn't really screw it up. They could just continue
to... Don't say that, because you know it's true, and it's been done before. Moyashiman right. Returns. It's easy to take a good show and make it bad.
Okay.
But it's hard to take a show and make it consistently good every week. And this is what the show's doing. Especially since that they started... essentially, it's a new school year, so all the characters are now second-year students. You have to bring in a new cast of characters, especially, you have the first-year Sumire, who... It's kind of interesting to figure out, what is she... Why is she here? Why is she in the cast? Because, at face value, she's like, okay, I want to get with Taichi, because he's, he's new hotness. But then there's okay, but then she actually reads one of the poems and she's touched. So this goes, essentially full circle back into Chihaya's whole thing, where she's like, her goal is to have the world learn about Karuta and essentially fall in love with it. And then that's the meat and potatoes of the show. It's not actually the card battles themselves. It's the fact that you have these characters, each of them with their own motivations, their own set of dreams, their own goals, and how they may conflict with each other, but how they work with each other to build up upon that. And that's why the show's so great.
Sounds good.
You haven't finished the first season, have you?
I've never even started it. Nothing. Yeah, I keep telling you, it's nothing negative. I just didn't get to it.
Okay. Well, I want to gush about it, but I need someone else to say things to gush about it.
I know. And I have nothing negative to say about it. I do not discount the fact that it is a great
anime. Yeah,
but
I want you here to say positive things about it. I want you to praise with me.
I know. But I can kind of praise you with this one. Salami-san.
Sorry, Salami-san.
I had to say that. All right. So Sasami-san at Gone something or another.
Sasami-san. Let's just call it that.
All right.
Okay. This show, besides Chihayafuru, which I know is going to be a great hit, this one, I was going in very optimistic that Shaftwits is going to do their thing and it was going to be amazing. And I'm right. I'm always right. So the thing I love about Sasami-san is the fact that, I mean, sure, you have the colorful world. You can talk about, his cinematography, the artistic backgrounds, the use of patterns, the style. You can talk all about that. But the reason why I praise the show so much is how it explains things or how it presents things without actually saying anything. Or, you see this world and we already understand Sasami-san. She's the main character. And we have her older brother who's a teacher. And then as the show progresses, I mean, it seemed like a very slow initial half where it's just her going through her daily routine. It's the little tidbits that you pick up that you understand, what's going on. Or, say, for an example, the whole little scene where she's with her brother as she, eats her dinner, takes a bath, goes to bed, that whole lineup. We're like, who's really dependent on who? Is it is her brother really just love her so much that she's willing to do anything for her? Almost the point I probably wipe her ass. Or is it the fact that she kind of needs him simply for the fact that she's restricted to this house? There's a lot, which eventually they explain more and more about with the fact that she tries to leave the house but can't, It's these little intriguing tidbits that the show keeps introducing, and it's forgivable because it's the first episode. Does that make sense?
Yep. I just thought it was outrageous. It was over the top. Every little thing was just kind of, I don't know. It had this spectacular opening, which makes me wonder, okay, where are they going to go with all of these different elements? They must have presented 10 different things, and they're going to somehow track into one of those or make them correlate or something.
Well, they eventually will. I'm assuming that they will, because Shaft does a reasonably good job when it comes to story exposition. Not to mention the fact that, Chinbo, he always has some kind of grand scheme. He picked up a light novel series that apparently no one knows about, at least based on all the forums and the boards I've gone through. No one knows anything about the show or even about the original source. So that's good. And I'm assuming that he's willing to dive into it a lot more and they get something interesting out of it.
We can only hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that first episode leaves you with more questions than answers, which is what he's good at.
Yes.
So we'll just have to see what happens.
But it was cool, though. Like, okay,
it was cool. I'm not discounting. At the very end there, when the rockets come out of the girl's boobs and all this other stuff, I mean, it's like, holy cow, yes, I get it. It was cool. It was
and then they're running through the streets, and then you got the jazz going on in the background. Like, it's cool.
So it was like Kyosuga meets Madoka meets, what's the girl? Oh, Memopad. God's Memopad.
On its surface, you could say that, but I have no idea what to compare the show to be honest. And it's brilliant. That's, like, I like the fact that I can't compare it to anything else. It's just awesome. Like, it's, I don't know. I feel bad because I'm not really explaining my words correctly, but
everything about what you've seen yet.
Exactly. It's kind of hard to explain what this, like, people call it a mess. I call it genius. Like, it's, you have this and it's just amazing.
Well, if Shinbo holds the form, the third episode should help tie something together or at least set the pace.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
Yeah.
And then the last show is one we both agree on. Mm-hmm. It's Kotoura-san.
Kotoura-san, yes.
Kotoura-san. Yes, the U is silent. I apologize. Kotoura-san.
Well, it's like a long... Anyway, fuck it. This isn't grammar. The point... The point is that this show had a very, very deceptive first episode. And
it was very depressing for that first 10 minutes.
Shh. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to talk about the... We're going to talk about the first 10 minutes for, like, you know, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. And then then you can come back. But yeah, that first episode or that first part was just really depressing. We're like, I thought it was going to be all happy-go-lucky because, I mean, that's the way the show's been presented, especially with all the previews and that kind of stuff. And I got feels. Like, I got sincere feels. It was a little girl who had this power. She had no idea how to deal with it. She had no idea what was going on for a long time. And she did not know how to deal with these problems. And every single support she turned to rejected her. And like, that's... It hurt. I'm not gonna say I cried because I've yet to cry in an anime, but it's still like I got the feels from it. What did you think?
I thought it was a very dark opening for the first episode in a series that is not going to be that way for the rest. But that first 10 minutes really set a dark tone for things to come back from. It's going to be It was a very stark contrast to the end where things ended up very lighthearted between I don't know what you want to call him, Baka-chan or whatever you want to call the guy.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like it's
so we'll see what happens throughout. But hopefully they've set the stage where there's continually going to be this conflict between her inability to get over her past and these people that actually want to reach out and be her friend.
Well, also if you watch the opening, the mother is still there.
Yeah, she's still around somewhere.
Yeah. So you know, so there might
she
be
hasn't episodes. Been hit by a train. No, karma hasn't run her over yet.
I don't blame her.
What, karma?
Oh no.
I was saying that karma hasn't run her over yet, so we'll see.
Yeah,
what happens.
I mean, I kind of get why the mom did that. I'm not saying what the mom did was perfectly legit, and I support her for 100%. But I'm saying, yeah, I kind of get why she did it at least.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what happens when you hit the hard stuff.
Alcoholics. Yep.
Yeah, that was great. Oh, did you notice how she drank like 4 beers and then had like a glass of scotch?
Oh, geez.
Like that's kind of. Anyway,
so on to the one show I think that kind of surprised me was the Problem Child anime.
Yes.
Mondachi, dot, 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 dot.
Yeah, however it
was. It was entertaining first episode. I wouldn't say lots of people are going over Black Bunny and raving over her, but that aside, it was entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting Dog Days vibes, which is perfectly okay with me because... At least the show knows what it wants to do with itself. Where it's like, okay, we're gonna have these crazy, awesome, colorful, spectacular shit happening, and we're just gonna set up the rules initially. So this is the world. This is what they have to do, and then you know the last few minutes they hinted at some battles. So I'm assuming that we're gonna get the battles later on. But if it's like you know 3 kids kicking ass, I can't be mad.
Yeah. I think the dynamics are going to shift because he asked that question at the very end. We'll have to see how the dynamics shift once the answer to that question comes out.
Yeah, it's like, why am I here? Like, why?
Yeah. What did you really need me for?
She needs a good digging, that's what.
Yeah. little bunny love.
Yeah. But yeah, considering how this is a show that essentially came out of nowhere, like, I'm liking it so far. Like, it's bright, it's colorful, the character designs aren't half bad. Granted, the eyes are kind of soulless, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah, but that's the typical big-eyed girl, big-eyed boy type shows. The eyes always look kind of soulless.
No, I mean, but this one is just like, there's like the outside color, which I always forget what it's called, the iris?
Yep.
Iris, and then just black. like just giant black. It's kind of creepy to me. Especially when you have the two girls and they just like stare, like they stare like at the camera, what do you want to call it? They stare back at you and it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
Anywho.
I thought I had some other shows on here. Oh, we do. Man, why did that one pop? Okay, yeah. So the second surprise, I forget that I add in some of this stuff half the time. Second surprise would have been Orishura. I actually like this because the female lead, the silver-haired girl, is a manipulative bitch.
Yeah, she is a bitch.
And I kind of like that.
I mean, I don't mind it too. Like, again, like, here's my problem. Whenever you have these harem type of shows, like, half of the enjoyment is going to be based on the male character. And it's not necessarily I want to see him how he reacts, but I just want to see his group chemistry, like, how he works with the group. And considering how you have a manipulative bitch on one side and, like, a clingy best friend on the other side, he's very passive. Yeah. Like, ridiculously passive, which it's not bad, but I'm waiting to see more.
And I love that the best friend nickname is Chihuahua. It's Chihuahua Champ. True. I love that. I get so much humor out of that. We've all decided at Anime Audio Log that we will only refer to her as Chihuahua Chan.
Yeah, you can just call her Loser Number One because you know, she's already declared, you know, childhood best friend, so she's not going to win.
I know. Once you do that, it's over with.
Yeah.
And then last surprising show in one of our
wait, we're not done with Orishura. I want to keep.
Oh, then keep going. What else do you want to say?
I think I honestly cannot wait for the next episode because those two next characters are what's really going to liven things up.
Well,
I hope.
Hime-san comes up here in the next episode, I think, and then the pink-haired girl who is the head of the disciplinary committee, she arrives probably in two or three more episodes.
Yeah. Wait, do you already know the source material of this?
We decided to get into that this weekend, so yes. I decided to find out what was going on.
Because I'm digging the chick with the Himeka. That's why.
Yeah.
Because I want to see how awkward they can make these situations.
Oh, she's awkward. Don't worry.
No, it's not. She's awkward, but it's she's awkward with the MC because happened.
She's awkward all by herself. Like she's awkward. And then the last one that was surprising was, and I get this one wrong, the Bakumatsu Gejiden Roman, which is the old school superhero one. Actually, mm-hmm. It's like the old school Justice League, Japanese Justice League. You know, you've got, you know, he's basically Batman, and you got a bunch of other side characters that support him. So. Yeah,
I like how you say Justice League, and then like the big character of the Justice League that comes to your mind is Batman.
Why not? It's Batman and Superman that are always pissing each other off in Justice League.
Yeah, I know it's true, but like, yeah, I mean, you didn't call him Superman.
He's not so much Superman because Superman's a self-righteous asshole. He's more of like a Batman.
Just without the dead parents and the...
Well, we don't know if his parents are dead. He lives with his sister, so...
But he doesn't have the...
True, he's not... I guess he's like the anti-Batman, you know? He's more of a happy-go-lucky kind of character. But he can't...
He needs more throat cancer. That's what I'm saying.
He needs more throat cancer. But yeah, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yep.
I enjoy it. I like superhero shows, so this one should be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Everyone should give this one a try. Don't get turned off because it kind of looked, I'm not going to lie, I thought it was a Lupin the Third ripoff or homage, simply for the fact that, you know, the character designs look pretty similar. I'm pretty sure, like, don't you have, like, old, like, the old director for one of the Lupin the Third series? Like, he's working on this as well?
Okay.
I thought it was. Well, yes. But, I was getting Lupin the Third vibes, but it's not a Lupin the Third anime. Let's just say that.
No, but if there's somebody I could relate him to, it would be Lupin the Third in terms of his character.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that it's its own thing. Like, let's try to avoid making those comparisons because it is pretty fun. It is pretty fun.
So if you're not watching it, I definitely, you know, it's a great comedy. It's got some fun stuff. His inability to win at gambling is always comedic.
Yeah.
We're down to our final thoughts, Aeroblip. It's been a quick show.
Well, 34 minutes. Would you call that a quick show?
I don't know. We had an hour one here a week ago, didn't we? Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, we did. I mean, it's not much is going on with the same, or not much is going on this season, so.
True. Only a few shows are really tracking.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts? Anything we didn't run over that you want to bring up?
Just a small one. Okay. So Hero and Demon King.
Yes.
Yeah. That female lead, she's supposed to be thick. Not fat, but, you know.
She's supposed to be a mature woman.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if this was done on purpose, but considering how the fact that the Demon King is royalty, especially with this era, I would assume rich people would be more a little more plump, And it looks like, I can't tell from the proportions or what, but it looks like she's got a little cushion for the cushion. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I was just like, you know, I don't know. It was just bugging me the first two episodes. And I was just like, you know, she's a bit thick, and I'm okay with that.
Well, it's because you're so used to seeing mollified 12-year-olds.
I know, but
you're not used to seeing characters drawn with normal proportions.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that I like that.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you. That's one thing I like about the show is that there's characters that cross age, a lot of age and sex boundaries. You know what I mean? You have male and female characters, young and old. I like that mix personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there was one of our fellow bloggers out there was mentioning that he's just done with high school romance animes. Like, he's just done. If the characters aren't over 18, he doesn't want to watch it. And I can't say I don't blame him.
I'm pretty sure that's because the FBI knocked on his door once or twice.
Yeah, you got to watch out. Two Love Rule will get you arrested.
Yeah, but that implies someone watches that.
I know people who've watched it.
I don't know anyone who watched it.
I think one of our viewers has, but I won't call him out on it.
I mean, I'm not saying it's taste or shit or anything, but it's just, I don't know anyone who's seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can actually watch To Love Rue because there's so many beams of light everywhere. You don't actually watch it, you're listening to it.
Yeah.
That's why we play the rimshot audio right there. But yeah, there's a beams of light all the time. Like, you're not even watching them. You're just kind of seeing beam of light kind of moves around, and that's and then you get some talking here and there.
So are you telling me this is Star Wars Episode 7?
That's pretty cruel, man.
Well, I'm pretty sure. Well, if George Lucas had his way, I'm pretty sure that's what it would end up with.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think he's overrated. But anywho, yeah.
What else? Not a lot of final thoughts for me. I'm not watching a whole lot of stuff. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to catch up on some manga, catch up on some backlog. Got Idolmaster to catch up on. I think I'm going to watch Idolmaster and Bakke this winter season to try to catch up on things.
Or you can try to watch Chaya Furu so you can catch up on season 2.
Yeah, I can do that anytime.
Okay, can I watch those with you, by the way?
Oh, fine, we'll do a live watch.
Well, I'm just saying Idolmaster and Bakke are the two series that I've seen the most out of any show. Like, more rewatches on those shows. Guaranteed double digits.
I don't think I've watched double digits of anything.
Well, Idolmaster's really easy, but Bakke's kind of weird because I watched it the first time, and then I let things settle a bit, and then I was at the same time I was also taking a Japanese class, so, you know, I went through 1 year of Japanese language, and then I just started understanding the industry more, started getting the jokes, so when I watched it again, like, I picked up things I missed the first time, and then I watched it for the third time, and then I picked up more things, and it's like, every single time I go through it, I always pick up something new.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I like that show.
I know I'll like it, I just need to get into it. Mm-hmm. So that ends it up. Thank you guys for watching. You can find this show and others at animeaudiolog.wordpress.com. We've also got a Twitter account for the blog at animeaudiolog. We are going to have a busy winter season for blogging, so check us out tomorrow. We have a post going up describing everything we're tackling this season. You can find our podcast feeds at iTunes. We also post this show on the Ustream site as well as at YouTube. And as always, we always look for special guests to come on and do some topics with us. You can email me right there.
Mm-hmm. And if live is not your thing, you can always join me and the Desu X cast over on Friday Anime Podcast. Just let me know.
Yep. So you can send a message to me. I can forward it to Aeroblip, or you can find him at Twitter at Aeroblip.
Oh, shit. Questions.
Yes.
No, questions.
Do we want to take any questions?
Yeah.
Do we have any questions?
Well, no, for the next game.
Oh, that's right. So this Thursday, when the Anime Talk podcast comes up, put some questions in the comment section for our next show. They can be funny. They can be serious. We will put them in, and that'll be our final thoughts next week.
Yeah. You can ask us any question, and we will answer it.
Within reason.
Within reason, of course. But yes.
If it's out of reason, only Aeroblip will answer.
I mean, trust me. The questions can vary. It could be like, what is your favorite show? Which character do you hate the most? Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? Those kinds of things. We'll answer it.
Yeah. Do you read? So we're gonna delve from anime for just a sec. Do you read the quarterbacks talking on Facebook?
No. What happened?
Oh my gosh. So my non-anime thing this week. Go to Mock Football Talk. Look at the series of posts called Quarterbacks Talking on Facebook. You will find it hilarious.
Will do. Will do.
All right. That's everything. Until next week, guys.
All right. Later.
Later.